This is Bloomberg Business Week, insight from the reporters and editors that bring you America's most trusted business magazine, plus global business, finance, and tech news as it happens. Bloomberg Business Week with Carol Masser and Tim Stenovek on Bloomberg Radio.
It is Bloomberg Business Week. That is Carol Masser. She has...
I now have four bananas.
All of the bananas.
I said I was hungry.
You just need that Saratoga water, bucket of ice, bowl of ice.
I'll tell you, the bucket of ice makes complete sense.
Have you ever done that when you've got
like a sore like foot or something and you just do ice water?
You put your whole face in it
in the morning at 4 a.m. It's good for the pores.
Right, cool.
Yeah, it's like when you, we'll talk about this later. We got more important stuff
to do. Hey, stocks rallied today. The S&P 500 up 1.8%. The NASDAQ Composite up 2.3%. Signs that the U.S. tariffs will be more targeted than anticipated, reducing the appetite for safety. Oil climbed as President Trump said he would seek a 25% tariff on nations buying crude and gas from Venezuela. Doug Scioka has been watching this closely, CEO and partner at Kavar Capital Partners. Got approximately $1.5 billion in assets under management. He joins us from Leawood, Kansas. Doug, we got your notes early today before we really saw this session take off. And you argued that there was this TIP, tariff implementation paralysis. It seems like markets have gotten past that today.
Yes, thanks, Tim. It's a fluid situation, like you said. I think we hit the press release valve today based on Friday afternoon's announcement that was corroborated over the weekend that, you know, the maximum impact of the tariffs might be a little less than the market had been pricing in. But, you know, this TIP, tariff implementation paralysis, is a real thing. I mean, you're talking about sectoral tariffs, secondary tariffs, reciprocal tariffs. Oh, and we're couching those within whether they are national security variety or the trade war variety. So there's a lot of cross-pollination of tariffs that led to a lot of investor consternation for sure.
So do you view today's buying, Doug, as a good sign or just, all right, things have been beaten down a lot. Let's just do a little bit of tiptoeing back in. It's not like we were up 4, 5, 6, 7%. So it does feel like to me that there's still some investor hesitation, but it definitely had a positive tone. How do you read what we got in today's trade?
Yeah, that's a great question, Carol. And thank you guys again for having me on. Like, if you think about our financial markets and the economy, right, they're dynamic systems, right? And as such, they're constantly evolving. But the most basic characteristics of dynamic systems are four things, right? One, stability. Two, instability. Three, oscillation. And four, chaos. And I think when we're in chaos mode, within which the current administration seems to exist very comfortably, then in general, you want to abide by a few different guiding principles. One, focus on valuation and not on price. Right, just because a stock falls from 450 to 220 doesn't necessarily mean that is a cheap stock. It might be a very judicious re-rating given the underlying context where we think those profits may grow over a period of time within the prevailing economic environment. Number two, focus on rebalancing, right? The market got so oversold. You guys have talked over the last couple of weeks about some of these sentiment indicators and how quickly they've reversed course, like head snappingly quickly. We went from everything's awesome to we're near an Armageddon scenario. So that gives incredible opportunities to rebalance when things get oversold like they have, which can lead to a lot of buying interest culminating in a single session like today. And the third thing you want to do, this is particularly for wealth management clients like those at Kavar Capital, is embrace the context of a financial plan and how you can take opportunities to adhere to that given the shifting dynamic system within which we're navigating on a minute-to-minute basis, right? In general, I was saying this to Paul, Trump is turning investors into day traders. And when that happens, you're going to see price gaps that with the long-term perspective are going to offer awesome entry points.
When do you think that's like, how do you see that playing out here? I mean, do you see that we're going to see more volatility ahead despite that it seems like confidence is kind of back?
Oh, without question, Tim, without question, we're going to see a lot more volatility, right? Because you also have to keep in mind, this is taking place after two incredible years in the S&P 500, consecutive years in the S&P 500, right? We needed to have a little bit of a shake up of optimism and sentiment in the environment. We needed a little bit of re-rating that would keep people's expectation more in line with reality. So I think it's a process. There's so much emotion attendant to this environment. I think it's obscuring what is an otherwise economic decision-making system by investors that it's throwing a lot of it up in the air in a single few, let's say, 3 or 4 week session, 3 or 4 weeks of sessions. As it assimilates, that volatility may dissipate. But ultimately, it's something we need to brace for throughout, I think, the bulk of the first half of the year.
So if we go by this tariff implementation paralysis, Doug, and if investors are shrinking their time horizons, can we shrink it so far down that the US market, something Tim asked one of our guests last week, that the US market becomes uninvestable?
No, I don't think so at all, Carol. I think if anything, this TIP is making the market more investable. But think like break it down by asset class. So within stocks, right, lengthen the time of your deployment out of respect to the expectation of ongoing volatility. Capitalize on the persistence of price dislocation. Focus on the destination, not the journey. We're all told, oh, don't worry about the destination, it's the journey that matters. When you're making investment decisions, it's the destination that matters. So there's going to be some gruelingly volatile sessions. But ultimately, I think this economy arrives on firmer footing, so it becomes that much more investable with every extended period of dislocation. For bonds, right, that's really challenging right now, right? We had the opportunity to extend some duration after the Fed began cutting rates last fall, which is a little bit perverse and counterintuitive. But now, because of the equity volatility, you've seen a massive rush into fixed income. So that duration extension potential has really been contracted. It just doesn't exist as much as it was, as much as it did. And then you have the administration. And there was a great piece in Bloomberg over the weekend that was written by Liz Capel McCormick and Ye Cheye that talked about the Bessent put. Right, the Bessent put is a real thing, right? Where this administration is going to try to suppress interest rates with energy efficiency, with reducing the number of auctions at designated dates, which is going to suppress demand, which is going to increase price and lower yields, and then also the result of some spending cuts should they extract any through this DOGE initiative. So there's really good opportunities in fixed income, but I think it's going to become more and more challenging, over a period of time because I don't see rates really running and spiking and the yield curve getting super steep anytime soon.
One last question I want to ask you, Doug. What is the cost, though, potentially, of tariff policies pushing back on allies, upsetting and possibly upending the global supply chains? We talked about maybe levies or costs on Chinese ships and the impact that that could have on the global supply chain and global shipping.
Right.
I mean, none of this go, goes unnoticed by the US economy potentially, and a lot of it can be inflationary. What is the potential impact so that the US market becomes a hard place to invest in? And just got about 30 seconds.
Yeah, I think those are really big questions, Carol, because I think in a worst case scenario, which would be the US orchestrating consecutive unforced errors, it does then lessen the attractiveness of foreign capital co to come into our markets, which becomes problematic. Now, the onshoring, the reintroduction of manufacturing in our economy is going to happen. It's just a longer process. So I'm hopeful that kind of the underlying forces of collective profit-seeking self-interest globally will overtake sort of the short-term initiatives of the new administration.
All right. Always good to check in. Doug, be well. Doug Scioca, CEO and partner at Kavar Capital Partners, joining us from Leawood, Kansas, about $1.5 billion in assets under management. This is Bloomberg.